Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. Great to see you here. Let's stand together and begin by singing, "It is a good thing to give thanks." Jesus is with each one of us here today as believers in Him. He lives within. The Holy Spirit is with us and watching over us every step, every day, even when we're sleeping. Father, Your Word tells us You do not sleep. You neither slumber nor sleep. We praise You for Your love and Your mercy showered upon each one of us. We thank You that we know You and that by knowing You we have eternal life through the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ. Father, it is a beautiful thing to be in Your family and to be fellowshipping with brothers and sisters this morning, joining our hearts together in worship and prayer, and as we listen attentively to Your Word as it's preached today. We pray that in this hour, You will accomplish Your purposes in each of our lives. Draw us closer to You and to one another. May Your name be glorified, and may the name of Jesus be lifted high. And Father, we do pray, if anyone has come here today and has not yet put their faith and trust in Him to save them from their sins, we pray that they would make that choice today and begin that journey and then be moment by moment with Him, just as we sang. Father, we commit the hour to You, give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You
may Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 24. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We want to pray for several people this morning that are ill, especially L.B. Wagner, who's in the hospital with a lung condition. He couldn't breathe right. His mother's there with him today. So pray for them, and everything will go well for that. And I know Rick Meister mentioned his brother Jim, who is more or less confined to a wheelchair, can't walk very much. And so keep him in your prayers. Continue to pray for Jim Moyer, and that everyone that is ill might be helped. Anyway, we want to remember these folks in our prayers today and pray for the church that we might be able to accomplish what the Lord has for us. Continue to pray about the elections coming up very shortly, less than a month now. So pray that we might see the Lord work in a very real way during the election time, that everything will be done decently and in order, and that it'll all be for His glory. All right, let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank You so much this morning for Your wonderful love to us. Lord, without You, where would we be? We just pray, our Father, thanking You so much for that we are a child of the King, that You're our Lord and Savior, and that we have eternal life through believing in You. And we're talking this morning about the Master and His servants, Lord. May we truly be Your servants and be willing to do whatever You call upon us to do, and to love You with all of our heart and to love one another and to serve You together. We ask You to bless Your word to our hearts today. The words of Jesus that He spoke when He was here. May we take it seriously, our Father, and may we seek to follow You in every aspect of our lives. We do pray for those who can't be with us this morning. We think especially Jane Wagner, and we pray for Albie as he's there in the hospital. We know he's had a very rough time with his health down through his whole life, and we just pray that You will work through him once again and work in his life and help him to do Your will, Lord, Your will. May Christ our Savior be glorified through it all. We pray for others, for Jim Meister, pray for him and for Rick and all the decisions that they need to make in the coming days. And ask You to undertake for him with his health. Be with Jim Moyer and bless and help him. We think of also of George Consolo. We pray that You'll work in his life. And Lord, others that perhaps we don't think of right now, but we do pray for each one that You'll work in their lives. And Lord, we think of our loved ones that do not know You. They have no idea, Lord, who You are. We pray, O Father, that You might enlighten their hearts. Lord, help that they might turn to You in their time of need and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, how we need You. We pray for our country, our Father. You know the need of every heart. And we know there's so many strange ideas that are going around these days. Oh Lord, we pray Your will might be done. We thank You for all the blessings that You have showered upon us down through the years, and pray that we would truly be grateful and acknowledge You and Your goodness and Your grace, and not follow after strange ideas. May Your will be done. Guide and help us. Bless Your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. We were looking at the Sermon on the Mount a while back, and the instructions that Jesus has been giving to His disciples, and we saw He named off all the disciples here in the first part of this chapter and who they were, And we think about their former occupations and how they left everything to follow Jesus. They committed themselves into his hands to listen to his word and to put into practice his teachings. They just laid it all down and followed him. They learned to pray, to depend upon him for every need. He called them to be his apostles and sent them forth to preach the gospel, to meet the needs of the people, to prepare them for the coming of the Lord. Now this morning we want to see the master and his servants and how he is instructing them. We see first of all here the servant's position, verse 24. He points out, these are all the words of Jesus. He said, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" So he's saying here, the disciple is to aspire to be like his master and to follow him in every area of life as much as possible. You know, you would think, ordinarily we would think the master is up here and the disciple is down here someplace, right? And you would think that, you know, the disciple is to obey the master, okay. Understand that. But he says you're supposed to be as the master. That's a pretty high calling, isn't it? To be like Jesus. We sing that song sometimes. Right? Be like Jesus, that's my song. And here, this should be our greatest desire. Remember, a disciple is a learner. That's the reason the disciples were chosen. And Jesus didn't give them anything else to do except to be with him and to follow him and to listen to what he had to say and to learn. That's one of the main areas of life for a believer. When a person first especially gets saved, when they come to Christ, they put themselves in his hands, they receive him as their Savior, then they begin to learn about him as Lord. You see, that's the natural process that should take place. He is the teacher and we are the listeners. We are the learners, right? And so we should pay close attention to what he has to say and to follow him, to watch and to glean from the master all that he could possibly give. And so the servant, he says, is not above his Lord. Now, do you know, I think sometimes of some of the people who are supposed to be followers of Jesus seem to think that they are as great as he is or greater, right? And I won't mention any names or anything, but you probably understand what I'm saying, right? Some religious leaders that are highly, highly esteemed in the eyes of the world, and yet we are supposed to be following the master and doing his will. The servant is not greater than his master, and we need to realize that and realize that we are servants. Well, that's a concept, isn't it? He's the master. We are the servants. And the servant is to do what the master says. Yeah, that's simple, isn't it? And we are to take our place, which is the place of humility before him and gratitude and thanksgiving in the sight of our master. He has given us everything. We are his followers. And we are to realize that. Jesus never promised his disciples riches and luxury, right? He said, the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. If you're going to follow me, you know, get ready for it. Yeah. It's not going to be a life of luxury and ease. You need to be ready to do whatever the Lord Jesus calls upon you to do. He never promised an easy road. In fact, it was the very opposite. He said, if you're going to follow me, get on the narrow road, right? Not the big wide road where everybody's having a good time. You know, take the narrow road and follow me. He said, well, that doesn't sound too inviting, does it? You know, is that the reason we have so few? Could be, I don't know. But anyhow, Jesus only had 12 with him to start with. Of course, later, it all worked out better, and now today we have all of Christianity. How much of that is genuine, I'll leave it to you to decide. But at any rate, Jesus said the Son of Man came to be ministered unto. Wait a minute, that's not right. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. See? That's the reason Jesus came. And he set an example for his disciples and said, follow me. You remember? Peter and Andrew were out fishing. Jesus said, leave your nets and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Same with John and James. And the others, Matthew, he walked. We saw that the other week. He walked by the tax office and he says, follow me. Matthew got up and followed him. And that's the reason we're reading this book this morning, right? Matthew was following Jesus. So the servant will be treated, it says, as his Lord. You know, you would think the Lord Jesus came down from heaven to earth, right? Came especially to his own people there at first. You would think they would have accepted him with open arms. He, we got a special visitor here, but they didn't do that, did they? They called him a devil. They said, you're doing the work of Satan. You know? All of the blasphemies that they brought forth. And they called him here, this word, Beelzebub, which is another word, you know, for the devil or for some evil person. The Lord of the Flies or something of that nature, like Baal. And, you know, they were vilifying him in his ministry. And they said, if they've called me that, what do you think they're going to call you? Huh? So are we surprised, and we are many times, I know I am, when people don't accept what you have to say? You know, it is so clear to us, right? We know that Jesus came. He died on the cross to take away our sins, and he has given us eternal life, and we rejoice. Huh? We're seeking to live for him. We want to tell everyone about it. And yet, when we do many times, what do they say? Who are you? I'm as good as you are. I've got my religion. Leave me alone. Right? And so often it happens in many places today. I know I read about it in the Voice of the Martyrs or at the Open Doors. All the persecution that's going on with Christians. And many of them, all they're doing is living their lives day by day. They just say Jesus is Lord, right? And what happens? You know? It's terrible to think about that. And yet he said that's the way it's going to be. Now why is that? Why do you think that's the way he chose to leave us here? To go through that? I don't know. You have to answer that in your own heart, I guess. But anyway, that's the way it is. The servant will be treated as his Lord. Look with me in John chapter 15 and verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you? There it is. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The other one is in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You see? So we are following in the train of our Lord Jesus, and we have to expect that others will not always accept us. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, says in Timothy. We're not to actively seek persecution, I don't believe. Deliberately offend people. Certainly don't want to do that if we can help it. But we do receive it, don't we? Sometimes, as followers of Christ, we are to expect persecution. And may I say that as we go further and further into these last days in which we live, it's going to get worse. We might as well be prepared for it because it's coming, you know. With all of the new ideas that people have today, that, you know, it's all up to us. We don't know. God's not even there, you know. Jesus can't do anything for us, right? And we say, oh, yes, he can. Then there's going to be a clash, right? Okay. You don't have to do anything really outstanding to offend people. They're always there ready to take offense because they think we're putting them down. But we're just preaching the word, aren't we? Telling people the truth, seeking to help. And yet, many times they don't want to help. But anyway, we find here, he says, don't be too surprised when people don't speak well of you. If they call me the devil, who are they going to call you? You know, that kind of thing. So we find here that then the servant's protection, verse 26. What does he say? How are we supposed to react to this? He says, fear them not. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. So he says, don't be afraid. It's all going to work out in the end, right? Is that what he's saying? Right now, you know, things are covered over and it's going to all be revealed. And we'll know as we are known. So we find here the servant's protection. It'll all come out in the end. The truth will prevail. And even the inner motives of those who oppose the gospel will be revealed in the judgment, if not before, right? And we have we are on the right side. We are looking to the Lord for everything that He has for us, and we don't need to fear. So often it says that in the Scriptures, right? Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will comfort you. I will help you in every situation. So the Lord is there. And we just need to put our faith and trust in Him. And in verse 27, he says, proclaim the good news. What I tell you in darkness, his teaching quietly, somewhere in the shadows, he says, you speak out in the light. Tell others. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. So don't be afraid, but go ahead and live your life and tell others the truth. Fear God only, he says in verse 28. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I looked up that word because, you know, hell sometimes have different words for it. And this is the word that says Gehenna. That's the lake of fire. God is the one whom we should fear. Not that we fear going there because he's already set us free, right? But there is this place of eternal punishment for those who do not receive the message. Those who do not trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. He's the one that we should fear. We don't need to fear the governor or the president or someone else. Fear God. Fear God. He's the one who is ultimately in charge, and we can trust him for our protection and for our help. So all of life is ultimately in his hands, isn't it? And both physical and spiritual, we look to God for healing. We look to God for our spiritual life. He's the one who determines the destiny of all men, heaven or hell. And he told us in his word what that depends upon, right? We know Jesus died for the sins of the world. And he's willing to forgive anyone who will put their faith and trust in him. That's all open and clear. And we need to look to him and know that he has eternal life for everyone who will come to him. So we see the Father's care for his servants here in verse 29. He speaks about the simple things of life. You carry on your business. Two little sparrows are sold for a farthing. Just a very small amount, right? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. You know, God cares, even, for the little birds that chirp out there on the tree, right? Or fly through the sky. God cares, even for them. And we should, too. Shouldn't mistreat these little creatures. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, some of us have more than others, but the Lord knows exactly how many hairs we have on our head, right? Some of us are losing some of them, but he knows everything about us, right? And he cares. So he says, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Uh-oh, watch out for Peter now. You know, because, well, I shouldn't even get into that, I guess. But anyway, it shows the care for God that God has for his people, and that we are created in the image of God, and God is concerned about people. And you know, when we hear of all that's going on, all the violence, it's going on around us in Philadelphia or wherever, throughout the country or throughout the world, actually. It's horrible to think. You know, people don't have any regard for God or for man. They just, you know, take you and shoot you down for no reason. And yet, the Lord is concerned about us. And we need to realize that we have great value in His sight. And everyone does, if they would only yield themselves to Him. But God is not only righteous, gracious. He is not only the Savior, He is also the Lord. And He has made it very clear what He requires. And so people have to yield themselves to Him as Lord and Savior. So God does care for us, and He will protect and keep us. Let's look at verse 32. Here we find the servant's promises in verse 32. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, so that's the promise that Jesus gives to His disciples. He said, you confess me before men, and I will confess you before my Father. So this is the promise He gives us. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? We have to take a stand as to whether we're going to be with Jesus or not. And here, as His servants, we can do His will. A mission director that I was served under once upon a time, he said, we are unworthy, but we are not worthless to God. Think of that. We are unworthy in ourselves. We have nothing to offer to God to make Him favorable towards us, and yet we are not worthless. He paid the price for us that we might be saved, that we might have eternal life, and that we might live a righteous life here on earth. So we find here the promises of God are true, faithful, and we need to look to Him for that. Look with me in Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 9. Let's see here. Romans 10, verse 9. Here He tells us what we need to do to make sure that we have eternal life in Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. So here we have it. Jesus says, if you acknowledge me, you receive me as your Lord and Savior, and then I will acknowledge you before the Father and before the angels in heaven. So this is what He's saying to us about being a disciple. In this is an interesting verse, verse 34. Think of that. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Did you know that? Have you ever heard that before? Jesus came to bring a sword. My goodness, what's He talking about? You know, He's the Prince of Peace. What's wrong here? It seems strange, doesn't it? And what is he explains it a little bit in verse 35. He says, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Wow. Why would this happen? What would cause such a thing to happen in a home? Jesus said, this is the reason. One of the reasons I came was to cause problems. Is that what he said? To cause confusion? To cause people to hate each other? Is that the reason? No. The point is, when someone puts their faith and trust in Christ and says, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to follow him, and others want to follow something else, it causes that clash, doesn't it? You know, we don't see that as much here, perhaps. Some people say, well, in America, what do? You know, whatever you want to do. Anything you want to do, okay? But in some places, this is certainly true. Especially among the Muslim people, you know. When someone decides, hey, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to follow the Lord, you would think that we would probably just say, okay, have a good time, fine. But no, to them that's denying everything that they stand for, and they will kill you, right? And that's what he's saying here. And Jesus said, you have to make a decision. Are you going to follow me, or are you going to be comfortable? And here, he says, a man's foes shall be those of his own household. The next verse explains it a little bit. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So he's saying you have to make a choice to receive Jesus, to follow him, and to do his will, even though others may not want you to do that. And he says you have to make a choice between him and your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, whoever it might be. And that's the cost of being a disciple, is to choose to follow Jesus even when things are like that. And it's interesting, verse 38, did you notice? In verse 38, he talks here about the cross. Now, this was before Jesus ever went to the cross, right? Here he is teaching his disciples. And he says, you have to take your cross and follow me. If you don't, you're not worthy of me. Okay? So, Jesus went to the cross and died in our place that we might have everlasting life. And he's saying we need to be willing to do that as well. What does it mean to take up your cross? You know, it's more than just having a sickness or something. No, we take up our cross and follow him. To take up your cross. You know, as they went through the land of Israel back in that day, they could see along the way, usually near Jerusalem or some of the larger places, people hanging on crosses. This was the Roman method of capital punishment, right? And so they knew what he was talking about when he says, you have to take up your cross and follow me. So that means they had to be willing to die for him, right? Take up your cross and follow me. Wherever Jesus went, he says, you come with me, be willing to die with me. And if you do not do that, you're not worthy to be a disciple. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. As a little paradox here he has. You find your life by following Christ. If you don't, you will lose it. You lose your life for his sake, and you find it, right? It's like the martyrs. They went to die rather than deny the Lord Jesus, right? They lost their life here on earth, but they found it. They found it in heaven. And like Stephen, when he said he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord standing, ready to receive him when he went, right? Because he was standing for Christ at this time of his need. All right, here we come to the servant's reward in verse 40. It says, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So he says, if you want to know God, you have to receive Jesus. And if you receive the servant of Jesus, you receive Jesus, right? If he's preaching the truth of the Word of God, and you believe that, you confess me before men, and I will confess you before the Father. He said that up there earlier. And here, not only did the disciples receive a reward for their labors, but they bestow blessings on others. And here Jesus says, you receive the message that these disciples are giving you, and you can receive me. That's what it's all about, to believe the Word of God and to accept it and to know him and to follow him. So to receive Jesus is to receive, he says, God the Father. Okay? You know, a lot of people seem to think, oh yes, I believe in God. But what God is this, you know? Oh, God can be most anything, can he? He's the one who maybe created everything and then left it. He's not bothering us. We just do as we please, right? No. He gives us this book to show us the right way. And Jesus said, the Father sent me into the world, right? And I do his will. And you follow me, and you will also be accepted by the Father. That's his way. And there's that's the way that God works. So that's what he's saying here. If you receive me, you receive the Father as well. And he goes on in verse 41. He says, he that receives a prophet. Okay. In the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Okay? And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, only a cup of cold water, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So Jesus is saying here, whatever you do in life, if you're following me, doing whatever I call upon you to do, even to give a cup of cold water to someone in need, in the name of a disciple, in the name of the Lord Jesus, he says, you'll not receive, not lose your reward. So God promises to us that we have this reward from him by obeying him. Trust and obey, right? There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And here we have even the simplest thing in life. And so often, if we're not careful, I know myself, we allow things to slip by us, don't we? You know? And you think, well, that's not that important. But he says here, just to give a cup of cold water is an important thing in God's sight. And he sees our life. He sees what we're doing, how we are living, what we are concerned about. And this, too, is a witness even to the other people, to be gracious and kind and loving. You know, we believe, as I said before, it's so important to receive Jesus and to know Him, right? To make sure. But once we receive Christ, it's so important to be concerned about others and to seek to help them and to meet their needs, whatever it may be. And this is the way that Jesus has lined out for us to go. The Lord is mindful of every labor of love that we do, no matter how small, and will reward us for it. So we find here in this chapter the master and his servants have a very special relationship, right? We are to obey him, to do his will. He desires for his servants to be like him, to live and serve without fear, to live under his protection and care, and to be the cause of blessing and salvation to others. So may we be that kind of servant. May we be that kind of disciple. And look to the Lord for every need and know that He is with us. Cast out fear. You know, I think so often we're fearful of this and that and the other. Just don't be afraid. Look to the Lord. You know, Jesus is with us here today, and he's asking us to follow him, to do his will. And if you don't know him, I think all of us do maybe, but if you don't, he invites you to come. You know, Jesus has told us, come unto me all you are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right? That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to fight us with a sword, as he said before. He wants to give us rest. And if you have never trusted him, turn to him and ask him to save you. And if you are a Christian, and take seriously what he is saying to us this morning in this wonderful chapter that we've looked at. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, this morning for your precious word. And I pray that each one of us will take it to heart, and that we will think upon it and be able to follow you in the way we should, and to honor you and to magnify your name. Take away the fear. Fear of man brings a snare. Lord, help us that we might look to you and know that you are the true and the living God that we worship and adore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.